Jesus is the only way to have peace with God. Though there is only one way to God, everyone's journey to Jesus is unique and magnificent. Here is a story of one's journey to Christ, now on Redemption Report. Welcome to the 30th episode of the Redemption Report podcast. God's been so good to allow a new episode to be released each and every week of this calendar year for 2024. And today's guest, it's my first time meeting her in person, but this connection was made possible and for her to be able to share her story because of this podcast. She reached out to me after hearing a couple episodes. And so, Sharon, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you, Timmy.
Yeah. So there is a little bit of a distant family connection in how we know each other, even though we've never met before. How did you hear about the Redemption Report podcast that prompted you to reach out and initiate contact?
I heard it through a Facebook account through Mary Morgan and her husband. And I also am good friends with Phil Price and his wife, and then also I've known your mom.
Okay. Not my dad, though? You knew Philip,
well,
but not...
I did know. Okay. I knew who he was.
Oh, knew of him. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, in the small town of, or village of Vestal.
Right.
One of those, like, people know people, even though they may not have known. My parents grew up a mile apart from each other, and they knew of the families, but I don't think they knew each other till my dad graduated high school. So.
Yeah.
So, well, cool. Yeah. Mary and her husband Randy were down here the beginning of April, and on a Sunday afternoon, much like today when we're recording, they had lunch with us, and then they got to share their stories. So, cool how in just a few months' time, this has all worked out. So,
yeah.
So, you referenced that you grew up kind of in that upstate New York Vestal area. Can you tell me a little bit about what life looked like when you were growing up and how you got to where you're at today?
Sure. I grew up in a very strong Christian family. My grandparents also very strong Christians. And so they were really into bringing us up in a more fundamental Christian environment. And during that time in the early 1960s, the culture in the United States was changing.
Very much so.
The hippie culture and all that. Yeah. And they really wanted to steer away from what was going on in the public schools. So they wanted us to go to Christian school. And that's how I met, like, your mom and your uncle, Kevin. And and so we went to the same Christian school. And that's how I kind of grew up in that Christian faith, through my parents, my grandparents, and through the Christian school.
So it was their desire to, you know, they saw the danger of where things were going socially or culturally and said, we want to, you know, make sure our family is protected or guided in a different direction. So they decided to pursue Christian education, which led you to Ross Corners area there. Now, were you, I think I heard something about, that was right around the time the school in that area was starting. Is that
right,
correct?
Right.
Okay.
So we went, we were living in Binghamton, which is the bigger city. And then we moved out and my dad got really involved with the school.
Okay. Gotcha. Were you one of the charter members there, or was it already established by the time you guys got to the scene, or putting you on the spot for history?
Putting me on the spot. I don't think we were a founding member, but we were
pretty early on.
Pretty early, yeah.
So your entire childhood, was that in a Christian school, or was that?
Yes, there were a couple years of public school because we couldn't afford it. There were five kids in our family, so
sure.
But most, you know, my education was in Christian school.
And I know it's a long story. We're going to get into that in just a moment, but it sounds like you've reconnected with Christian education for present day.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you do today?
Today, I've, for the past 20 years, I've worked in Christian education at Dayton Christian High School. I work in the special ed department, and I've loved every minute of it.
What does that entail? Is it just the high school side of things, or is it?
It is the just whole... the high school.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I work with kids who have learning disabilities.
Yeah.
So, keeps me very busy, and I love it. Love the kids.
Great.
Love my job.
Cool. And so now you live just about an hour north or so of here where we're at in Kentucky, up in the Dayton area.
Right.
How long have you lived out in that area?
I came out here to go to Cedarville.
Okay.
And after Cedarville, I stayed. My aunt and uncle live out here too. And so I stayed and met my husband and we got married. So it's been over about 45 years.
Yeah. Yeah. One of those go to college and then end up staying in the area.
Ended up staying in the area.
Gotcha. Yeah. And Cedarville is a Christian college up in the Dayton area for
right.
those that aren't aware. But mm-hmm. Well, cool. So growing up, obviously, it sounds like your parents prioritized faith and relationship with God based on their education choices. But do you remember the first time that you understood your need of a savior? Like maybe you didn't necessarily believe at that point, but when was the first time you remember it being articulated? Because I'm sure you heard it from the time
sure.
you were a baby, but when's the first time that kind of connected or you can recall?
I recall vividly being in the first grade and we were sitting around the piano in our classroom and our teacher had asked us if we wanted to accept Jesus as our savior. And I said, yes. I was, believe it or not, a very shy,
okay,
very shy little girl. So for me to step forward like that was a big deal. I can't tell you, though, if it was something that I felt I needed to do or if God was prompting me. I don't recall.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that that's what I did in the first grade.
So kind of like it was suggested and you're like, yeah, that's something
mm-hmm.
I can do. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what happened from there? Was it, just everything's been good since then? You know, like, did you have to reaffirm your belief later on or how does that all play into it?
I think I did the route that was expected of me.
Okay.
About 10, 11 years old, you get baptized. Mm-hmm. You know, and then after that, you go on and you're obedient and you do what the school says you need to do and you do what your parents tell you you need to do. So you follow rules, regulations. But down deep in my heart, I really struggled. Because I wanted the whys.
Hmm.
I wanted, well, why should we do this? What is, you know, is it that important? If it's that important, you know, why can't we go to a movie?
Mm-hmm.
My girlfriend went to a movie and she's a Christian. She went to see Disney,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
whatever it was. And, but I couldn't. And so I really struggled with the whys.
Yeah.
A lot of why, up until I was in college.
Sure. Yeah. And when we got a chance to talk before you came down here, we talked a lot about that type of thing where mm-hmm. You mentioned a fundamentalist background. Yeah, that was how I was raised too. Granted, it was, you know, a couple decades later, but still a lot of those same themes that were being presented. And I think for those that aren't as familiar, may have heard the term fundamentalism thrown around, at least for this context, there was a lot of things like you mentioned earlier where the culture was headed one direction. And so, it started off with people saying, mm-hmm. you know, we're going to just draw a line in the sand and we're not going to. And I think a lot of those things were I think all of them, if I'm being honest, were well-intentioned and mm-hmm. probably served a really good role at a certain period. But there's definitely a tenor that was attached to it that you don't question. You don't ask why, because we've already figured it out. And so it's just, yours is not to ask why, just to do. And so things like the movie theater, I didn't see my first movie in a movie theater until 2016. So, you know, I was well into my 20s at that point, and I still tell people that, like, wait, what, you're 29 when you saw your first movie or something like, but it was a large part because of how, for a long time ago, movie theaters were not the same as they are today. And so it was like, you wouldn't want to associate with a movie house because of the content that they would produce. But as time and culture change, unfortunately, sometimes the rules and regulations didn't change. And then people just hung on to them as though they were scripture. And if you question, it was almost like you're questioning God's word or you're questioning your faith. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, hold on. And so unfortunately, it sounds like you kind of fell into some of that, much like I did later on as well.
Most definitely. And also, along with that comes the whole, you know, we don't talk about sex. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We don't bring up anything to do with that. I think for me, it was like that curiosity. Well, why aren't we talking about it? Why, you know, what's it all about? And I was very, very naive about, you know, anything to do with my own body.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of times that we don't talk about that, you know, it's evil, it's sinful. And then it gets either get associated with like, it's evil in the context of marriage where they say, oh, you can do it when you're married, or, you know, not like you were necessarily having a perverted view of, or just, you know, I want to sin, but just, I want to know, I understand, you know, inquisitive mind. So
yeah,
I'm sure that would have caused you to both search out those answers. And in doing so, since that's in contradiction from what you were being told or brought up, and kind of push you away from the people that were close to you because you were going in a different direction. Would that be accurate?
Yes, it was. I did feel like I almost had to put on a show of, you know, being compliant and being obedient. But deep down, I was really drifting and didn't know where I was going to land. I always felt, and I have a good friend who used this term, and it just hit me that Christ was wooing me. He wanted me. And looking back, I could see that. I never stopped believing in him. But I had to come to terms with what I was believing. How I was believing.
Yeah. Yeah. And if the environment that you're surrounded in is all you have context for relationship with God, that can, I would imagine, I've seen in other people, so I imagine it's similar for you, cause you to kind of reject everything. Because it's hard, especially as a youth, to be able to navigate through, I'm going to hold on to this because this is good, but this I'm going to separate out. Like, So growing up, kind of living, starting to live, it sounds like a double life where you're having that outward appearance, and then inwardly you're searching. You're, you know, maybe making some poor decisions along the way as well. Where does that lead you from there?
From there, I got married to Ron.
And you were still, I guess, searching at that point, like going to a Christian college and then getting married.
Right. And I met him at our church, so I was still going to church. He was raised with a dad who never went to church, and his mom, she went to church, but that was it. She wasn't involved with anything. And so He didn't have a real strong influence, Christian influence. And so that's, you know, for me, that was okay because I felt like the way he was living was like how I wanted to be. It was that. Not so strong, sorry, Ron, but
but not more intense, maybe as another,
yeah, not as intense. I mean, you know, he loves the Lord, yeah. Don't get me wrong, but you know, he was okay with going to the movies and, you know, let's go. I mean, and I don't know where you're seeing on this at all, but you know, if you want to have a drink, you can have a drink if you want, but don't go overboard.
Right.
And those were ideas that were like, really? Oh, well, it doesn't say anything, you know, and we would talk about that. And so to me, that was like, oh, he's the one for me.
You know? Yeah.
And obviously he felt the same towards me because we've been married a long time.
Yeah. Now that's cool. So you, in your searching, you found someone that you didn't feel was going to pull you away, but also at the same time wasn't going to pull you in a different direction. You could like walk alongside and go together.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a lot of what marriage should be. Don't want to be yanked one way.
Yeah. But I know that God ordained that because the way I was living, but in the back of my mind, I kept going back to, would my mom and dad be proud of who I married? Is this some guy they would like? Mm. And what about my grandparents? Well, they all interviewed him, you know? And they really liked him. So I think the Lord protected me.
Yeah.
From marrying someone who could have been, you know, an unbeliever.
Right, right.
Really.
Yeah.
So cool. I think he really protected me.
Yeah. From that point on, what was it that occurred next as far as your faith journey? Was it something that your husband did, or was it the church you were at, or how did God work it to where you were able to have a relationship with him?
I think what really changed was when we had children.
Okay.
And I've talked to a lot of friends who have said the same thing, that they realized kind of at that point, oh, I need to, you know, be a good influence for my own children. And do I want them raised to believe in Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. So you know, need to walk that walk.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that Ron and I went through was infertility.
Okay.
And we ended up adopting our first child, Christiana, and she is 35 years old.
Okay.
And we just felt just amazed at how God worked that all out for us, which down to the penny. That's the amount of money we had, had saved up, had worked for, and God provided.
Wow.
And so that was a real eye-opener, blessing, and then
a very tangible way of God communicating, like he knows you. It's not just some distant God that has rules in place or like can't be found, but he's communicating directly with you that exact dollar amount.
And I one thing I didn't mention is that I have OCD.
Okay.
And so when you have OCD, you want everything planned, and you know, everything you know, you need to buy the house, you need to have the washer and dryer, and then you have children, and then you have it all planned.
Right, right.
And when suddenly things aren't going as you planned, that kind of flips. You really can't trust in yourself anymore. You have mm-hmm. to trust in a higher power.
Right.
And through Jesus, that's how I got through all of that. I realized I couldn't depend on myself to solve that problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Had to be through Christ.
Right.
And so having children really changed my outlook on Christianity, on who God was. And that's about when I started really getting into God's word and going to Bible studies. And that's really how my faith grew.
Okay. So it was, I know a lot of churches will have activities for kids. And mm-hmm. so you probably wanted your kids to be involved in those, be around other kids. And then you got sucked in.
Yeah.
And what was different about this church and how they viewed relationship with God from your previous experience and how you've been raised or how you had been accustomed mm-hmm. to seeing or perceiving relationship with God?
I think through the church and through different Bible studies, I realized a couple of things. I grew up thinking that you need to, well, I'm not sure that I really thought of it this way,
sure,
but
yeah.
that you had to be a Baptist
okay.
to be a Christian.
Yeah, no, I grew up thinking that as well, like Baptists yeah. are the way. And
that's the way, yes. Nothing else but the Baptist. And I realized that, oh, wait a minute. I have a Catholic friend. I have a Missionary Alliance, Assemblies of God. I have all these friends now that are coming to Bible study who are not the members of our church, but yet they want to learn God's word too. Mm-hmm. And just knowing that, oh, that freedom through Christ is freedom through Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's not through the Baptist church.
Right, right.
And just growing and having the idea that, oh, okay, going to a movie isn't sinful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You need discernment.
Yes. Yeah.
To go to a movie.
Uh-huh.
And, but how do you learn discernment? Getting in God's word.
Right.
And that's how you can make those choices.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like when I was a teenager that I went through this thinking that why all these rules and regulations? I'm 18 years old.
Mm.
Why are they treating me like a baby?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that really what I needed was the teaching to discern, not the rules,
mm-hmm.
per se.
Yeah, that can be easy to overemphasize where, mm-hmm. it's good to, you mentioned the sexual aspect of it, like it's good, for people to abstain from sex before marriage, like mm-hmm. scripture clearly teaches that in many different places. But if that's the only rule behind it, or if the goal is for people to maintain their virginity until they accept Christ, then I've seen it play out even in my own life and people I've been connected to where virginity becomes an idol, where it's like, mm. I'm holding on to this so much so that like, it doesn't really matter why. It's just the fact that I'm a virgin, I can flaunt it, or because I still have that. But it's like the rest of my life could look like trash, but at least I was a virgin. And it was like that's good. It's good that you're mm-hmm. not seeing it in that way, but like to have that understanding and that discernment, when we're kids, sometimes it's just because mommy and daddy say so. That's why you obey.
Yeah.
Like my 2-year-old, doesn't understand why she needs to go to bed. It's just because daddy said so. But eventually she'll learn that sleep is good for your body. Right. And this is helpful. And this actually helps you live a more profitable life. And the same, whether it be the sexual side or the alcohol or anything else, that sometimes people draw those hard, fast rules. The rules aren't necessarily bad, but definitely the understanding needs to accompany that, to your point.
Most definitely, yes. Yeah.
So do you feel like you made a profession of faith for, you know, kind of to kind of say, like, this is where I'm at now after following this progression? Or do you feel like your faith was refound, like reclaimed? Or how do you view that? Or what were the circumstances where you're like, I'm all in, or I know where I stand with Christ?
I really think it was refound, okay, as you said. I remember going with a group of ladies from our neighborhood Bible study up to Cleveland to go see Ann Graham Lotz and Billy Graham's daughter.
Okay.
And she was giving this talk, and it was called Just Give Me Jesus. And like her father, she is an amazing speaker. And we were just in tears, really, because she was able to say words, you know, through Christ, say the words that pierced our hearts. I mean, there were several of us who really took that as almost like a, you know, to restart, to really change our lives. And I remember that as being one of those moments.
Yeah. Well, that's really exciting, especially when you do have that ability to ask the questions. You're no longer a kid. You can get the answers and also make decisions for yourself where you don't feel like, obviously at this point, your parents and grandparents weren't forcing you to do things, even how you described your husband, you know, in a positive sense, like he wasn't, didn't have that relationship with you where it's like my way or the highway, or like you must comply. And so you're in this position where everything is able to line up where you can get those answers and make a decision for yourself.
Yeah.
So what occurred, or what changes did you see following that?
Just like that hunger and thirst. Not just for God's word, but, you know, for righteousness and for living that life that I knew God would be pleased with. And of course, I'm not perfect.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just, that was so important.
Yeah. Well, over the years, you mentioned you have one daughter that was adopted. But you've mentioned the word children multiple times. So how many kids has God blessed you with?
We have two children.
Okay.
Our first one was adopted. And then God graced us with a biological child who is Cassandra. So we have Christiana and Cassandra.
Okay.
We have seven grandchildren. And yeah.
That's really special. Yeah.
It is.
What, aside from, you know, the joy that comes with having grandchildren and things, what other joys have you found, or if you could identify one joy in particular that you've been able to experience since following Christ wholeheartedly?
Good question. I think, sharing Christ with other people. The Lord has given me boldness in my old age, and where I was very quiet, just starting our neighborhood Bible study that we had for years, about 20 years, we had a neighborhood Bible study.
How did that get started? Did you just start inviting your neighbors, or how did that work?
Yeah, pretty much so. had a neighbor at the end of our street who went to a different church as us. And she was gung-ho to start a Bible study. And I said, well, I think so-and-so will come. And that girl invited a couple people. And so our neighbor down the street, she led it for about 10 years. And then I led it for at least 10, maybe 15.
Wow.
It was quite a while. And we had, like I said, all religions or churches.
Yeah.
A lot of women came to know the Lord. And
just from you having a conversation with a neighbor and said,
right,
we should do this.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. What, like when you follow Christ, it's not always like super easy, or, you know, there's things that you have to sacrifice. Maybe at the beginning of your life, it was movies, but, yes. But in all seriousness, what challenges or what things would you say that, you know, following Christ requires sacrifice, and this is what I've had to sacrifice, or this has been a challenge or something that if I didn't know Christ, I wouldn't even think about, but because I am following Christ, this is something I've had to lay aside or sacrifice or a challenge that's been associated mm-hmm. with following.
Mm-hmm. You know, this might sound wrong.
That's okay.
But marriage, you have to put yourself aside.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's been 100 times I've said in my head, that's it. I'm leaving. Because I'm OCD.
Right.
Everything has its place. My husband is like that character in Peanuts cartoon
okay.
that has the dust following him everywhere.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He's
Pigpen.
Pigpen.
Yeah.
Yes. He's a messy. He's a hoarder. I always tell him he's a hoarder.
Sounds like he's, from how you described him earlier, laid back or easygoing.
Laid back,
which is very opposite of OCD. Yeah.
Quiet. But yeah, I've had to ask the Lord to just help me get through my marriage. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's just been one of those things. And he's a lovely person, but he is a messy. And it can drive
you
nuts. You
have all sorts of apologies once this comes out. He already said, I'm going to have to apologize to him. I'm teasing.
No.
But no, that makes complete sense, because if you didn't know Christ, it'd be perhaps just easier just to walk out or just to do life. But then you miss out on the rewards of, you know, like you said, what, 40 plus years of marriage now and the joys that come with that. Yeah. So,
and, you know, it is interesting because even where I work, we were talking about marriage with the students, the high school students. They're seniors in high school. And one of the girls asked me how long I had been married. And I said 40 years. And when I said that to her, this was a couple years ago, when I said that to her, she just was, what? 40 years with the same person? And I said, well, yeah, you're kidding. She never saw that in her life.
For sure, yeah.
In her grandparents and her parents. And that's kind of the culture. That's what these kids are seeing at home. And you know, it's very difficult to get through a marriage. As you know, there's problems that come up. And if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, if you don't have, you know, there's going to be problems.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely going to be problems. So
yeah.
It's always surprising when people look at you and say, 40 years? What?
Well, creeping closer to 50, so that's good. Well, as we come to a close here, if you were to tell someone listening to this for the first time, one big takeaway you'd want them to have from listening to your story, what would that one big takeaway be?
To search God's word for yourself. When you have questions, search out and don't just rotely follow rules and regulations. That's not what God wanted for us at all. Mm-hmm. He wants us to search him out. So that's what I would say.
No, that's perfect. And I think that fits right in line with what you've communicated throughout your story, is that, you know, it's sometimes good to just submit, but to ask those questions and to look to the right sources for truth. There's plenty of bad communicators of truth or false truth out there that people put mm-hmm. out on social media and the internet and different sources, but it can be difficult to find where we find truth. I mean, even in this political season right now that we find ourselves in, what actually is going on in the world? What actually, who has truth? But when we can have confidence in scripture, knowing that truth is found there, mm-hmm. it, like you said, digging down deep. And I found that to be true for myself, where a lot of the scripture that I learned as a child is coming back now, and there's context for it. Mm-hmm. The beginning, it was just memorized because that's the right thing exactly. to do. And you get those awards in Awana or yes. different things. But now it has a lot more context and a lot more mm-hmm. Understanding, but you still have to put the work in. You can't just, it's not like it just magically comes. There is a spiritual component to where the Holy Spirit unlocks our minds and gives us understanding that we wouldn't otherwise have if we weren't walking with God, but we have to put the work in and seeking in. But scripture says, if you seek me, you will find me. You search with all your heart. And you mentioned earlier you're hungry and thirsty. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. And so those are promises we have in God's word. And I'm so thankful that you got to share your story of how those have been fulfilled, those promises that have come to pass in your own life. So thank you for taking time to share.
You're welcome.
From the story you just heard, Sharon repeatedly pointed to the value of reading scripture herself and allowing God to use his word to direct her beliefs and convictions. In the Bible, there are two letters written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy, a young man he was discipling and mentoring in the faith. 2 Timothy 2:15 says to study or be diligent to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who doesn't need to be ashamed, correctly teaching or dividing the word of truth. This was written to encourage children of God to search out the scriptures for themselves and establish their beliefs from God's word as opposed to any other tradition or teaching. I hope Sharon's story encourages you to be a student of God's word so that you may know and follow your Savior. As we wrap up this 30th episode, I have to again point out how exciting it was to have Sharon reach out and use the contact info she found on my website after hearing the podcast, even though she didn't know me. If you would like to share your story or even just say hello, please don't hesitate to visit twareproductions.com and reach out. Please let me know your thoughts on this episode, and we'll see you next time on Redemption Report.